Blog Talk
yo, yo.
Radio.
Oh man, welcome to another Monday. Another episode of You Create Change Radio, the first episode of Monday Conversations.
Monday Conversations. I'm so excited about Monday Conversations.
So for those who don't know what Monday Conversations, well, first, well, we're going to get, you know, to our quick recap of last week in a minute. But first, we want to explain what Monday Conversations is. And, you know, it's just a conversation on Monday to break it down. We just wanted to have a real conversation. We didn't want to come with, you know, any kind of, you know, precursor information. We wanted to be organic and to flow naturally, you know. So
absolutely. And I think that that's the best way to go, because if we can just flow naturally, it just makes things easier, life better, and we can just enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. We're still going to talk about patience, however, because that's kind of what's going to kick us off, you know, for the show. I'm really trying to do something here on Instagram for y'all. So look for some activity right now if you follow the at You Create Change Instagram.
Yeah, and, so, well, I'm going to go ahead and give a real recap real
okay,
quick.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So last week we talked about balance, and we had the beautiful Miss Dominique Oliver on our show. And, you know, it was a very interesting show. I mean, we talked about just how do you have a work and life balance. And you said that you don't like work-life balance. You like life-work balance because
yeah.
Life comes first, right?
Yeah. Life comes first before work. Thing about it is work, you can work yourself to death, literally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you can't live yourself to death. But we should be trying to live ourselves to death. So, you know, definitely focus on a life-work balance. That's much more important. But yeah, let's just jump into what it's gonna be about today, man, and then just having a real conversation about patience. By the way, you are allowed to call in today. So if you're listening out there, if you follow You Create Change consistently, we usually never do this. So I'm gonna, you know, put the number out there so if you can, you know, write it down, you can use it, save it in your phone, to call us and join our conversation, join our Monday conversation. So the guest calling number is 914-205-5625. Once again, that's 914-205-5625. You can call us, and then you can join us in today's conversation. Just hop in at any time. We'll be able to see you, and we'll bring you in. So,
perfect. So, patience. What, for you, Keith, are you a patient guy? Would you say you're a patient guy?
You know what? I can't say that. yes, actually. You know, and I was about to say no because a lot of times we don't really give ourselves credit, you know. And I'm not going to say I'm the most patient guy, but I consider myself a patient guy to my standards because of how impatient I used to be.
Okay. So you've gotten patient over, more patient over the
years. Yeah, I've grown a level of patience over the years.
Yeah.
And that's based on really just becoming more aware.
Yeah.
Becoming more aware. And when you become more aware, you become more patient with things.
Yeah.
You start taking your time
yeah.
with things because you understand that some things are just out of your control. It's already
yeah.
engraved for you. So.
And something you said to me earlier today actually was never be in a rush.
Never be in a rush.
And I thought that was interesting because that's what we're talking about, having patience, not being in a rush, just allow. Like,
yeah. I mean, you can't rush time anyways.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make it go faster.
No.
And why would you rush something that you're going to run out of anyways? I mean, you know, you're not going to get more time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get more time. So there's no point of rushing through the little bit of time that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And when you rush, you miss things. Literally, you forget things.
You're flustered. It's just a bad energy altogether. And why would you want to continue to do something that makes you feel flustered? I remember, like, when I was younger, my mom, oh, my gosh, she would wake me up Sunday morning, and she would always wake me up probably, like, 10 minutes before we were supposed to leave. And I would have to rush and hurry up and get ready. She's already been up for hours. But me, I have to rush and hurry up and get ready. She's like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. So I'm just like, my heart beating fast. You know, I just, I can't collect my thoughts. I got sleep in my eyes. Like, come on, man. So ever since then, as a young child, I've always hated the feeling of rushing and having to feel like I'm rushing. That's why I can't live in New York.
But see, I used to like the feeling of being rushed. I used to feel like that's what successful people should feel like.
Oh, wow.
You know, I felt like if I wasn't rushing to get something done, or some people say they work better under pressure. You've heard that term, you know, people say that before.
Yeah.
And that's me in a hurry, urgency. You know, it brings suspense. It makes it dramatic,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we are characters of drama. You know what I mean? We like
that's
drama.
True.
When
chaos.
You watch a movie. Yeah, when you watch a movie, you want to see, you know, how bad it gets before it gets real good. You want to see how close it got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're watching sports, you want to see a good close game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what you want. You know, you want it to get down to that. So when we rush, we kind of put ourselves in that situation automatically.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and I actually learned that from never being in a rush. Was actually, shout out to Christopher Newsom. He was my former supervisor at one of my recent jobs. And, you know, I was in a rush one day coming to work, and I was rushing in, and I was late, and I tried to explain to him, like, well, you know, I was rushing as fast as I could. The lights, for some reason when you're rushing, the lights are red.
Mm-hmm.
So all the lights are red, and, you know, this street was shut down, and he's kind of told me, hey, man, you know, so why'd you rush then?
Mm-hmm.
If all that happened, why'd you rush?
Yeah.
What was the point then?
There was no point.
Yeah.
He was like, it's out of your control.
Never be in a rush. And have you ever experienced like that one guy or woman who's driving next to you and trying to speed through the light, and then you pull up, you know, two lights later and you're right next to them anyway, and you weren't rushing and they were? It seems like rushing actually doesn't change the amount of time.
Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. And that example is so funny to me, because we're doing that. They go faster than me, skirt around me. And I see him at the light, and it's like, okay, well, you didn't get very far, so you did all that for nothing. You really just burning energy.
Yeah.
Burning energy.
Yeah. to try to, what you think, you're saving yourself time or 30 seconds, or you're shaving time off. Not really. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? You're not. And if you are shaving 90 seconds, look how much you put at risk for that 90 seconds. Or you forgot something.
Yeah. I feel like living in Los Angeles, there's just, everyone is just in a rush. There's just, I've never been around so many people, being from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been around so many people that are just in a rush. That's why there's so many accidents. I mean, people are getting accidents left and right all the time in the 405.
The more people, obviously, the more cars, which gives the more opportunity for accidents as well.
Yeah, of course.
So, but traffic definitely has a major part in why, you know, there are so many accidents. People are frustrated a lot of the times, and I've been sitting in traffic one time, and I just wanted to run right into the person, right in the back of the person right in front of me. Even though I know it's not their fault, I just want to take it out of me.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know, it's always the person in front of you fault when, like, you're late. Or
yeah.
When you're rushing,
like,
everyone
hurry
drives
up,
too
hurry
slow.
Up.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone drives too slow.
Yeah.
You know, only when you're rushing, though.
Yeah. And I find myself, when I find myself wanting to get irritated or frustrated with somebody that's in front of me that isn't moving, I have calmed myself down by telling myself, you know what, there's a reason why this is happening.
Yeah.
There's a reason. That's the only way I can calm myself
down.
You
roll with me, and you have, you know, mentioned that I should honk the horn at times and I don't. You know what I mean? Because I'm just patient.
Yeah,
you know?
You are patient. You're a very patient person.
So,
I'm
learning. Right, you know, so that, you know, and that's what we're talking about today, patience. But being in a rush is opposite of patience, and you got to study both sides of the spectrum in order to understand it completely. And, you know, realizing not being in a rush, that for some reason gives you more patience as far as waiting on things to develop, or you start to understand the amount of time, you know, you don't really bother yourself with being late or waking up early, or, you know, I don't know. It just seems
just
different.
I mean, I think patience just sounds like a kind word. It's just, you know, just be soft and gentle, you know.
Yeah.
You don't plant an apple seed and see an apple tree tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be patient. You have to allow time to do its thing.
Period.
You know?
And you can't speed it up.
No, there's no, you can water it as much as you want to, and you can you know, go out there and talk to it all day long, but it's not going to speed the growing process.
Yeah, and if you do speed it up, you may have cut a third of the time off by rushing, you know, but it's not, the quality is not the same as other products. So when you rush, you're not the same quality of a person.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, you know, because you didn't take time, you know, to wake up in the morning and do what you normally do, you know, because you're rushing today, so you didn't do this. So you didn't do your hair. You can't, you're not you. Now all day it affects you. You know, I'm pretty sure from one perspective, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
You think you're sure.
That you may agree with this, being a woman, like, that 10 minutes you didn't take to do your hair, and then you go to work or you go out, it affects you all day, like, and then you got to make it, I've witnessed women do this. The first thing they say, oh, please excuse my hair, I ain't even paying attention to the hair, but you're so self-conscious because you didn't take the 5 minutes to do whatever it was you needed to do, or, you know.
If we don't feel, for most women, I can only speak for myself, though, but if I forget to, you know, comb, brush my hair or whatever, and it looks crazy, yeah, it's going to be on my mind all day. Because that, I know when you look at me, you see that. And I'm not happy about that, so I'm probably not going to exude as much confidence as I would if my hair was popping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's why when girls got, you know, hats on, or when they got their scars on, or whatever the case may be, they only want you to see their face because they on the move. They're going to get their fresh pack of weave. They're going to get their hair done. After that, then selfie central. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
all my natural girls, they know what's up. The twist outs, that's what's up.
I mean, well, all I'm saying is that it seems like but you know what, that's a conversation that women have to have, because y'all got to be patient with y'all hair a lot of times. So
yeah,
that's definitely on the grid. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
You know, hair is definitely, you know, I'm growing my hair right now, and I feel like I'm in a stage where it won't do what I wanted. You know, it's not long enough to do what I wanted to do, but it's so long that I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
So it's like in one of those middle stages. Uh-huh. And I got to be patient with my hair, and I got to just accept where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, accept where you are at. You know, you can't rush your hair for the most part. You got to be patient with that. You know, be patient with everything else, it seems like.
But, you know, I think that it's interesting, too, because if you think about how, you know, most people want to be successful. And whatever it is that they're doing, they want to be successful. You know, everybody would say, I put my all into it. I did my best, you know. Hopefully, that's what most people want to say. But then you have those people that are like, you know, but how can I get there faster? I would like to just get to that destination of, you know, financial freedom, pure happiness, and just worry-free, stress-free life. Like, that's what I want. I want more money. I want all this.
I don't believe you can speed up the process. I do believe you can slow it down, however, by making bad decisions.
I agree.
So, you know, you could have been, you know, somewhere a long time ago, but you made a decision that, but now you're here now, you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
You know.
So, yes, I totally agree. Now, but do you think that if you have somebody like a mentor, somebody that is older than you, or someone that's a little bit more wiser than you, maybe not even older than you, they could be younger than you, but they're just someone that seems like they've got it together a little bit more than you, if they can help you out and, you know, kind of point you in a certain type of direction, I mean, do you think that that could essentially, quote unquote, speed it up?
This is the answer, and this is not my answer. I forgot, I don't know who said it. But there's a lot of quotes that I know that I don't remember people who said it, but that's whatever. But when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That's the best way to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has some type of mentor when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the, I mean, I don't know what better way to say that. Yes, mentor is even if you're working for a corporate company, there's someone teaching you how to get to the next level. Usually there's someone trying to help you get more. There's always a mentor in every situation. Sports, if you play sports, you know, if you're the veteran is the mentor to, you know, there's always, and the coach is the mentor to everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, everyone has a mentor on every level of expertise,
mm-hmm.
I believe so.
Okay. So then, I mean, I personally believe that, you know, I'm 24, I'll be 25 on Friday. Hey, shout out to my Libras out there. I'm 24, and I feel that I've reached a certain type of understanding, maybe more than, you know, someone that didn't necessarily have the same opportunities that I've had by running into certain type of people this early.
Oh, you gotta break that down.
Okay.
Yeah, break that down.
That was pretty deep. Okay. So what I'm saying is, you know, if this woman right here is 49 years old and she's still trying to figure out, you know, something that maybe a 24-year-old has already figured out, but that 24-year-old only figured that out because that 24-year-old had someone there to help them. Kind of like, I mean, you said it earlier, you know, the teacher will show up when the student is ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess if the student is ready at 24 and the teacher is showing up at 24 rather than if the student is, you know, still not ready at 49.
And, well, there's some teachers that have kids and make sure they're ready early. You know, so that's why it's important for you to be a student and then become a teacher.
Okay.
While still being a student.
Right.
If you're not teaching nobody, what are you doing anyways? The point of this whole thing is trying to make the world better. So if you're not teaching the next and trying to teach them faster and trying to get them better and try to make them student ready a lot earlier,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I would say that as far as the world is concerned, it's easier to do that now with the access to information. You know, that's why my daughter is almost 3 and she speaks very well,
mm-hmm.
incredibly well, you know, and that's based on, you know.
Yeah, you're seeing that more and more with today's children. I mean, just because technology is a part of their norm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're raised on, literally. We weren't necessarily raised on this much.
Right.
You know, we were raised on more than our parents.
Right.
But, you know,
we weren't raised on iPads.
Exactly.
At all.
And now they just understand it in a way that, you know, we feel like only adults should be able to understand.
Absolutely. But it's just really being exposed to things.
Exactly. Just being exposed and aware and
allowing them to learn a lot sooner.
Exactly.
And understand that you have to be a teacher.
Yeah.
To the next, and it's not just to your kids, just to any young individual you really run into. You know what I mean? Just make sure you can't change everything. Just make sure every time they have a conversation with you or interaction with you, it's progressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the best you can do. You know, it's hard to say that everyone should, you know, spend their time reaching each. Yeah, one person can't do it all. It's really a unite. If one person grab one person, everybody be all right. Obviously, you know what I'm saying. So just teach as many people as you can that you at least interact with, you know what I mean? And I think that if you give every person a progressive conversation, something motivating, something stimulating, giving them something to think about,
mm-hmm.
something to use their brain on, I think that you're leaving that person better off, you know, and make sure that any time you have that conversation, you can't control everybody else, but you can do your part.
Yeah. And that's what it's about, just doing your part, because you can do all that you can do.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Do your part, you know, and
contribute.
That's it.
I like to use the analogy of we are a big puzzle. That's what this is. This whole game is just a big puzzle, this life thing.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of us represents a piece to the whole puzzle.
Okay.
You know, and if we do our part, we'll fit into the correct position and add to the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't do our part, we're still missing. And now there's holes.
That's very true.
In the picture.
That's very, I mean, there's a lot of holes. But well, it's not necessarily holes, just perspective. Some people don't think they should go. It should be there. You know, it's It's just really perspective. I mean, what would happen if we all put the puzzle together? Would we be done here? Would we have accomplished what we were sent here to accomplish? Or?
Well, I think that we would probably work in harmony a lot easier.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm saying, when is there ever going to be a point where we can't get better?
Well, I don't think that there's ever going to be a point where we can't get better.
Right.
However, I do believe that we should get better.
Right, that's why I'm saying that the puzzle can never be complete, because there would be nothing else to, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I see what you're saying, but we don't know if there's nothing else because we've never been complete.
Right, but I'm saying based on what you're saying, you know what I mean? You're saying that. I'm saying that we can never stop getting better.
Right.
No matter. So we can never
I totally agree.
Done. We can never be done. And I see you call. I'm going to bring you in a minute. We can never be completely done. So how do we complete this puzzle if it can never be completed? You feel me?
Okay.
All right. We got a caller. Don't know who it is, but I'm not going to yell your number out. But I'm going to bring you in if you can hear us. If you're here with us.
This is Mike.
What's going on, Mike? Where you from, man? Where you calling? Let people know who you are.
Michael Bush, calling in from L.A. You know, just wanted to tune in and, you know, hear some of the great information, you know, and, you know what I'm saying, just share some knowledge with some people and receive some knowledge from some people.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. How do you think that a person can become patient?
Oh, man. It's a challenge for some people. I mean, speaking personally, that was a challenge for me. I wasn't always patient, but, you know, you just have to endure. You have to just tell yourself, you know what I'm waiting on is going to be great. So, in the meantime, between time, I say being patient is just another challenge for a person. You just have to sometimes take baby steps. Just if you can't wait 2 hours, wait an hour. If you can't wait an hour, wait 30 minutes. But wherever it is, you have to just progress.
So, what about them people who tired of waiting? Are you know, feeling like patient is not working for them that far? What would you say to them?
I think they probably just have to go back to this drawing board and see what they're waiting on. You know?
Ooh, that's good. What are they waiting on?
Yeah, that's
that was awesome. Man.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
What really am I waiting on? Like, if I know I want to make a certain amount of money and it's like I give myself 12 months, some people just be patient just to be patient. Now, that's good and all, but no. If you give yourself, let's say, a time limit, and you're patiently waiting in that time that which you set yourself for. If it doesn't happen and you're waiting on this time, now I understand you can be frustrated, but you actually have to examine yourself and say, okay, what steps did I take that made, you know, what the right steps did I take and what were the wrong steps did I take? And as far as being patient, I mean, shoot.
Let me ask you this, and Brianna, ask you this too. Can you practice patience? How do you practice patience?
I think kind of how like Mike was saying earlier. If you know, you just take the time to one by one, add on. You can't do an hour right now, so just do 30 minutes. You can't do 2 hours right now. Do an hour. So I think that if you every day you become aware that you're being impatient and you just try and correct that, I think that yeah, after a while it becomes a habitual thing.
I'm muted.
Now, what'd you say, Mike?
The thing is with building patience, I think one of the things is practice meditation. Because when you meditate,
I agree.
You're basically being patient. So when you meditate on the thing that you're actually waiting on, I know it builds anticipation. Anticipation is like it's bigger than the actual thing that the actual goal that you set yourself on. But when you actually meditate, you realize that, man, I was waiting for a while. I was pretty patient.
One of my close friends, Ross Perry, he says the only way to practice patience is to be put in a situation in which you have to be patient. There is no way to really practice outside of just being in the situation. I mean, you can't go home and say, hey, I'm going to practice being patient today.
No, but that's why I said earlier that you become aware that you're impatient when you can step outside of yourself and be like, oh, man, I'm being impatient right now. Let me direct myself. And now I'm practicing patience because I'm putting it into action.
Yeah. I'll have to do that. Go ahead, Mike.
No, that's actually right. I do agree with Ross. I mean, sometimes you just put into a situation where you're like, you just have to be patient.
And that's the only way.
The thing I want to ask is, how many situations does it take to a person to realize, you know what, I just got to be patient? Because if you could see, like, just see you meet somebody who has just a lot of patience, you're like, man, like, why is he so patient? And he just tell you, like, look, hey, I had to wait a lot. And so it's like, when do you get to the point to where you're like, okay, like, I just got to be patient, like.
It kind of comes down to, you know, a point with me of learning that it ain't really being patient that's the most helpful. It's just not being in a hurry, you know. It's just allowing, as some would say, and not forcing. Taking the force out of it and allowing things to happen is literally being patient.
Mm-hmm.
So if my definition of tonight on what it is to be patient is just allowing things to happen.
I agree.
Realizing that you're not in control of a lot of things. That, you know, if you truly believe you're meant to do or be something, then that is it. Mm-hmm. You're on your way there.
Yeah.
And you can't deny anything, and you can't question many things,
yeah,
even when it doesn't look really good.
Yeah. Man, I 100% agree. I think that just allowing, and I just want to go ahead and just say thank you, Mike, so much for tuning in and calling in and having the conversation with us today. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up here in a little bit. But back to what you were saying, Keith, is just when you are put in a position of allowing, it just kind of seems like it's a flow, right? Everything just runs easier.
It's much easier. And then, as Kevin Trudeau would say, if you guys listen to that, to Reach Your Command, he talked about things that are off of your radar. So things that are going to happen on Wednesday, you can't see on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I get excited about waking up because I'm like, man, today could be some good news.
Yeah. And you know what? I've been listening to a man, Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm.
He's an author of The Power of Now, excuse me. And, oh, man, we can go deeper and deeper. But really quick, he talks about just being still. And I think that's what patience is,
mm-hmm,
stillness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just being still and just, you, like you said, you can't predict what's going to happen Tuesday and Wednesday if you're in Monday. Just be in the now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just kind of my inner thought on it, being still, it's kind of, if you go looking for somebody and somebody go looking for you, you guys can pass, you know, each other a million times or pass a spot a million times that both of you are at. But if someone just stays still, it's easier for the other person to operate.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and now you're in harmony. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's our conversation for tonight. Tonight, you know, our very, very first
Monday Conversations
episode. Thank you, Mike from LA, for calling in and joining us tonight on our conversation on patience and not being in a rush. I think it went well for our first time. I hope it went well for you. So follow us at You Create Change. Please like our Facebook. Please visit the website, www.youcreatechange.us, and stick around for another Monday, every Monday at 8 p.m. Thank you guys for listening to You Create Change Radio. Here, we embrace the difference.